Our speaker today is one of our graduates, Brother Jeff Swart. He's a native of Girard, Kansas. He and his wife, Debbie, have three children, four grandchildren. One of those children, Andy, is a graduate of this institution in 2007. Pastor one of the fastest growing churches in North Arkansas. Jeff and Debbie presently reside in Galena, Kansas, where he has been the pastor of First Baptist Church of Galena since 2009. Brother Swart has a Bachelor of Arts in Sociology and Political Science from Pittsburgh State University, a Master of Arts in Professional Counseling from Liberty University, and a Master of Arts in Education, Religious Education, from the seminary here in Jacksonville. In more than 40 years of full-time Christian ministry, Brother Swart, he did serve for 7 years as a church planter in North America, started a church in Nevada, Missouri. Also, he at one time was Dean of Students at Jacksonville College. Also, served as assistant to the Director of Foreign Missions for the Baptist Missionary Association, pastored churches in Kansas, Missouri, Texas, and Arkansas. Also, for 6 years, served as the English speaker for LifeWord Media Ministries. Also served 4 years as a church growth consultant for Disciple Job, and has taught as an adjunct professor at numerous Bible colleges and seminaries. But perhaps the most impressive to me is that in the last 40 years or so, he's spoken more than 12,000 times, 35 different countries, on behalf of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. President serves as the moderator of the Baptist Missionary Association of Kansas and Western Missouri, chairman of the BMA Missions Advisory Council, and also second vice president of the BMA of America. He's also author of the Church Planting Module, Step-by-Step Model for Planting Churches Through Personal Evangelism and Discipleship. And we're glad to have one of our friends, brothers in Christ, but Jeff Swart, come speak to us now.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you, President Holmes. I get tired just thinking about anybody that did that stuff. I guess I'm showing my age. But President Holmes, Dean Atterbury, distinguished faculty, and I mean that sincerely. Graduates 2015, I'm so very proud of your accomplishments. And I know that this little exercise is often called commencement because you're beginning your ministry for the Lord or continuing your ministry for the Lord. And although this is not, I hope this is not the high point. I hope it's one of the high points, but I hope the Lord just blesses your ministry, whatever it may be, wherever you may be, for His honor and His glory. Also, I want to say welcome to the family and friends of the graduates, as well as our seminary trustees who do such a great job. I am both honored and humbled to stand before you today on this auspicious occasion. I'd like to, again, sincerely congratulate each one of you. Only you and God know how much this degree has cost you as far as time and work and study. It was 25 years ago this month, after cramming 3 years of study into 18 years, that I sat where you are and received my diploma. I hate to brag, but what the old proverb says, he that tooteth not his own horn, to him it shall not be tooted. But Harold Small and I have the record. I assume we probably still have the record of taking 18 years from the first seminary class we took to graduating. 18 Amen. Years, and you can thank Harold and I for them changing it now to 7 years, I believe. We have 7 years to complete the degree, and it's my fault. Suddenly you're just a little sharper and faster and smarter than I am. That's the bottom line there. But 25 years ago, I received my diploma. Well, actually, it wasn't a diploma, it was a pardon. But I am sincerely honored to be here today, and that is the truth. But I don't know if you paid much attention when preachers preach. A lot of people don't. I know that by experience. They can tell me how many light bulbs are burned out in the building or how many knots there are in the ceiling, but they can't tell you what I preached on. But most preachers will tell you they feel honored to be about it anywhere. You know, I remember the story about the pastor who on Sunday afternoon went down to the local jail to preach to the inmates down there. And when he got down to the jail, his mind kind of went on automatic pilot, you know, and he kind of forgot where he was and to whom he was speaking. And he said, you know, I'm honored to be here today, and I know that you are honored too. He said, furthermore, I know that some of you went to a lot of trouble to be here today. And he said, and finally, I believe the world will be a better place for your having been here. Well, the simple truth is, folks, it is an honor to sit where these graduates are seated today, to be graduates of this fine institution of theological learning. It is an honor. And secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ went to a lot of trouble to save us, to adopt us into His family, and to call us into His work that we might be seated here today. And finally, my prayer is, my sincere prayer is, that the world will be a better place for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, for your having spent these years studying here at our seminary. Those of us who are here today are different in many ways. We have different interests. We have different spiritual gifts. We have different talents. We have different experience. For example, some of you are dog people and some of you are cat people. Some of you are coffee people and some of you are Diet Coke people. And some of you are garment bag people and some of you are suitcase people. Some of you are remote control for the television and some of you have children. Some of you are breakfast people and some of you never eat breakfast. Some of you might be Britney Spears people and then there's all the rest of us. We are different. But I do believe today with all of my heart that we have something in common, and that is simply God's calling upon our lives. You know, your calling may be different than mine, but you have a calling. And as I look at the graduates today, I see men whom God has called to preach the gospel. I see women, and I'm always glad to see women in our graduating class, because God can use women in the ministry too, to teach. And that somebody said the difference between preaching and teaching is that one's just a little louder. And so basically they are the same, are they not? And so today I want to share with you what is probably the most simple message as far as content that you will ever hear. But I believe in these, the last days before the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may be the most important thought that I could ever share with you. And my simple message is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. And I know you're familiar with those, with that passage, for there the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living, the saved, and the dead, that is the spiritual dead, the lost, and in view of Christ's appearing and His kingdom, I give you, Timothy, this charge. Preach the Word. And my charge to you today is to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God. And I really believe with all of my heart that that is something, and that is the only thing that is going to save America. The only thing. Paul stated here in light of Christ's coming, Timothy, you're to be doing one thing. You're to be preaching the Word of God. You know, he said to Timothy, I give you this charge. And the word charge here, it means to exhort someone concerning a grave or an important matter. And Timothy, I want you to know something, Paul said, that the most important thing I want you to remember is that you're to preach the Word of God. It's His directive. Now, have you noticed how many books have been printed in the last several years on the subject of the gospel? Have you noticed that? You know, I don't know why, but I'll share with you my, you know, opinion. And my opinion is that because so many pulpits across America are no longer preaching the gospel. And we need to preach the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Gentile. It's the word of God that must be preached. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. And Paul defined the gospel in that familiar passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he said, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." Again, Paul emphasizing something is very important. And he says how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. The heart of every sermon, the foundation of every message, the center of every worship service should be Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. Our message is simple today, but we have simply forsaken it. And we need to get back to preaching Christ. John Wesley, the great evangelist, well, if you've ever read his diary, you'll know that again and again he wrote in his diary, "Today I gave them Jesus Christ." And the greatest gift that I could ever give another human being is the message, the saving message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know today that preachers are facing tremendous pressure to do anything but preach the Word of God. Church growth experts encourage us to be pragmatic, to become storytellers, to be comedians, to be psychologists and motivational speakers. We are encouraged to share social commentary, political rhetoric, and shallow homilies. I'll tell you what, today we have given up, so many of us have given up preaching, biblical preaching, in favor of messages that are non-doctrinal in nature and designed to make people feel good. Listen, God didn't call me to make you feel good. If you want to feel good, go to your medical doctor. If you want to hear what God has to say, come to church where a pulpit is aflame with the power of the gospel of the living God. Clearly, there was no room in Paul's ministry for give people what they want to hear theory that is so prevalent today. Paul did not encourage Timothy to take a survey to ask people what they wanted to hear. Paul told Timothy to lovingly, to patiently preach the Word of God. Let's be honest, the preaching of the Word of God is out of season today. But Paul says that the excellent minister in Jesus Christ must be faithful to preach the Word even when it's not in fashion. Paul talked about a time when people would not endure sound doctrine, but they would gather around themselves teachers that would say things that will tickle their ears. Listen today, I don't need my ears tickled. I need my heart challenged. I don't need people to tell me what they think I want to hear. I need to hear what God wants me to hear. And we need to be a clarion call today, telling men and women what the Word of God says and what God expects of our lives. The late John R.W. Stott said this. He said the low level of Christian living is due, more than anything else, to the low level of Christian preaching. More often than we like to admit, the pew is a reflection of the pulpit. Seldom, if ever, can the pew rise higher than the pulpit. Never forget that, graduates. The pew will never rise spiritually higher than the pulpit. And we must never forget that. I remember reading in the Old Testament from Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, where the Bible says, "They," that is the scribes, "read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read." The scribes in Ezra's day, in the words of John MacArthur, read the text, explained the text, and applied the text. And we cannot improve upon that biblical formula. It was the English Baptist pastor Charles Haddon Spurgeon who declared, "I do not look for any other means of converting men beyond the simple preaching of the gospel and the opening of men's ears to it. The moment the church of God shall despise the pulpit of God, God will despise her. It has been through the ministry of the pulpit that the Lord has always been pleased to bless His churches." Over the last 40 plus years, on my 21st birthday, I surrendered to preach the Word of God. On July 15th of this year, it will be 41 years. And I base my ministry on two things. Number one, the deity of Jesus Christ. He's God in flesh, in the human form. Secondly, I base my ministry upon the Word of God, because God has only promised to bless His Word. He's not promised to bless men or programs or ministries, but He has promised to bless His Word. Friend, never forget that the gospel is the power of God to everyone who believeth. Never forget that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And never forget to preach the Word of God. Simple message today. And yet, for some reason, we've omitted it. I want to close today by coming back and looking one more time at the text that I read a little while ago. And in that text, God said through Paul to Timothy and to us that we are to preach the Word of God, because Jesus Christ is coming again and He is going to hold us accountable. So if you're looking for an outline today, we are to preach the Word of God because God commands it. Number two, we're to preach the Word of God because the people need it. And we need to preach the Word of God, number three, because I am accountable for doing it. Preach the Word. It is the Word of God that converts the soul. It is the Word of God that will lift us up spiritually to become mature believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God. Let's preach it unapologetically until Jesus comes. Amen.